Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan. Find us on the Twitters, on the Facebook, on the... what else do we have? We have the YouTube channel. The YouTube channel, that's what I meant. So, boys, we are 1 month out from training camp. Training camp starts July 25th. That's when veterans report, right? So... you have that. But before we start with that, Andrew, your house was attacked and infested with snakes over the weekend. Is that correct?
No. No, there was just a copperhead in the yard. One copperhead that bit one of the guys working on my house. On the hand. Yeah, he had to go to the ER.
That didn't work out well.
Wow.
No, and then I actually went to the ER later in the week because my son broke his wrist.
Got some poltergeist shit going on.
I know, seriously, bad juju.
So, you tweeted out that his home.
Wait, actually, speaking of houses, I'm in the process of selling my
house.
I'm in the process of selling my house and going through inspections, and they found termites in my house. And I had to call Terminex here in New Orleans. And as it turns out, the owner and some of the fine employees of Terminex here in New Orleans are loyal Saints Happy Hour podcast listeners.
Nice.
I called them up and they were like, oh, I thought I recognized your voice. Is this the same guy from the podcast? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh, I'm a huge fan. I'm a big listener. Joe Mart, I think his name is. So shout out to Joe and Terminex.
You know what's funny is that if we were walking in the streets of New Orleans, no one would ever recognize us.
No.
Yeah.
But if they hear the voice, oh yeah.
Hey, is one of you outside or something? I hear like bugs in the background for one of you.
Yeah, I'm outside.
Yeah, I can hear like crickets in the background. It's very nice, Dave. Very rustic.
This is one heck of a microphone I got.
That's the donations, man. People need to keep the donations going. And maybe I can get the Yeti microphone, and then you can hear my wife do Astros play-by-play. Yeah, we don't have sound effects. My computer rebooted, and the sound effects board went to shit.
Our homemade sound effects are better.
So, you know, as we get to, we're a month out from training camp, so we're going to start like previewing the Saints' position. So, Andrew, I didn't know where to start, so I figure we'd start like with offensive line, because I feel like offensive line is one of those spots where the Saints' offensive line, Pro Football Focus and all the advanced metrics, they had a bunch of stuff this week like rating offensive lines. I guess they all have all the websites have a meeting and they just throw out all the offensive line stuff last week. And the Saints offensive line was fucking awesome. And it had more combinations of offensive linemen that started than any team. Like Calumete started at three different, he started four games at three different spots. So, and last year they were seven deep at the offensive line, right? And they needed all fucking seven of those guys because their projected starters, like, played like a half. The first half of Minnesota, and then Zach Strief got hurt and it was all to shit, right? So, like, this year, like, Calumete's gone. So, like, how deep do you think their offensive line is and how concerned about it are you, as like last year we thought it was like a tank and could absorb a bunch of injuries, and it did. This year, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I just I'm not super confident in any backup, honestly. And, you know, Teron Armstead, especially, I would say durability with him, first and foremost, is a major question mark. So, you know, they've got a couple of guys. I mean, they've invested a couple of draft picks in Rick Leonard and Will Clapp.
Yep.
You know, really the free agent is German Bushrod. You know, that's the one kind of notable guy that they signed that's in the mix. They brought Larrabias back. They still like Cameron Tom. So, I mean, there's some guys, but no one to me stands out as a reliable backup out of that list. I mean, you could say maybe Bushrod, but I don't know, man. I mean, he kind of seems like he's well past his heyday. So
well past his sell date. Dave, if Bushrod would be like in your bargain bin at your store of like stuff that you're trying to get rid of and get pennies on the dollar, right?
I've got one of those in my store.
It feels a little bit like Goodwin's return. You know, I remember Goodwin came back for a year and he wasn't quite the same guy.
Yeah, but I felt like the thing with Goodwin was he was okay until he got nicked, and once he got hurt, he was kind of screwed. I feel like Bushrod might be done even if he's healthy, if that makes sense.
Fair.
But Dave, if I said to you, one guy is going to get hurt on the Saints offensive line, who would you say, please God, don't let it be? For that one guy's going to miss 6 weeks.
I'm a big thing about the center and the snap and the center quarterback exchange. So, you know, I would maybe say Unger.
Unger's not young, by the way, if people are wondering.
He's not. He's a 10-year veteran, and he's 32. I just always get flashbacks to, like, the De La Puente days, and, you know, when we had all kinds of issues with botched snaps and, and backup centers coming in and just more problems. So, I would say Unger, but, you know, other than that, maybe – I mean, obviously, you're going to choose your best player here, so, you know, maybe Warford.
Andrew, if I said to you, you got to pick one guy that's going to miss 6 weeks, who would it be of the starting five or the best five? Andrew, are you there?
Exactly, and we know how they can still handle it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you over under on Armstead games played?
8.
Andrew?
6.5.
6.5. Armstead, if he doesn't play 11 games, Andrew, is he going to be? Is this it for him as a Saint? You think?
Yes.
Ooh,
I do.
Do you think when you look at offense?
I mean, he tries to play. I mean, he plays hurt, but I mean, if you look at his career, he's played 14. This is I won't count the first year where he played 6 games because that was his rookie year, and he didn't really start playing until the end of the season. So he played 14, then 13, then 7, then 10. So you know he has never played a 16 game season. You know, 14 was the best he's ever done, and it's gone down since then. Every year, pretty much. I mean, 10 last year was better than 7 the year before, but you know, he has missed over the last 2 seasons. He's played in 17 games, which means he's missed 15 regular season games.
I mean, there was a reason why he took that money early that the Saints offered him. You know, because
that's smart.
He had injury, you know, and there's no way the Saints would have paid that to him if he'd have played out that contract. So smart on him.
He's still just 26.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but I mean, at this point, I feel like he has the body of a 32-year-old.
But I mean,
you know, they used to say Joe Horn, like, remember when he was like in his mid-30s and Jim Haslett was saying, yeah, my trainer tells me Joe Horn has the body of like a 25-year-old.
Yeah.
I feel like Teron Armstead's the exact opposite.
He's got the body of a He's got the body of a 32-year-old and the knees of a 45-year-old man.
Man, beat up, man.
I think he's signed through 2020, huh?
Is he? Yeah.
You never know, though. I mean, the flip side of that is that I remember a couple of years ago, we thought Streif was done. We thought he was finished. I remember us saying, yeah, I don't know if, like, this is a year that Streif falls off a cliff at right tackle, and he turns around and has the best year of his career. So, I don't know. I feel like sometimes you get a little string of luck and health, and you can kind of bounce back and have a good season. And I think the thing about Armstead is he's so good that if he can be remotely healthy for a season, he's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah. He's so, like, a freak that he can get, like, a kind of an injury that would, like, maybe wreck another dude, and he'll be okay. Like, you can be like, oh, Armstead, he's got a thigh contusion or whatever, and most could you'd be like, oh, fuck, that's bad. But for him, he'd be like, oh, he'll just play through it and be and go from, like, being awesome to just pretty good. You know, he just needs to avoid, like, the catastrophe of the injury. But
it's kind of sad, though, because, I mean, he's the ultimate, like, what could have been player. If he could just, I mean, what would a fully healthy season look like for a guy like that?
Dave,
Pro Bowl-esque, it would look Pro Bowl-esque.
Oh, I mean, he'd be all pro.
His highlights are
by the way, he's signed through 2021.
Ooh, it's a lot of money. Big.
He signed a $65 million
deadmoney.org
contract extension. A 5-year contract extension. You know, $65 million back in 2016.
You know what was interesting, and I didn't see who he said it was, but the guy who does Over the Cap, I forget his name, and he'll answer questions for people, and I didn't think to ask him, but he was doing the worst contract that every team has, and he said he only included guys that were on the team, not like guys that they cut. So, like, you can't be like Kobe Fleener or Nick Fairley as, like, bad contracts. And I was thinking, Andrew, like, the Saints are pretty – their sheet's pretty clean now. Like, they don't have any guys that you're like, that's a fucking terrible albatross of a contract, and they're just eating it. And, you know, like a guy that – like Bird, for instance, where you're like, he's not living up to what they paid him or whatever. They don't have really a terrible contract because they're kind of young now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who would you – if I said the Saints, the worst contract for the Saints, who would it be?
Right now?
Yeah.
Can I say Drew Brees? No, I'm kidding.
I would say him.
No, I mean, his contract's not that bad right now. You know, man, I mean, the thing is, the obvious answer was Kobe Fleener, who is still, by the way, having concussion issues.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys...
That poor guy. Poor guy.
Jesus and Pete's, man. I can't believe he went back in. You remember after you got that concussion? That was crazy. I mean, the worst contract on the team is Armstead.
Or does Fairley count? Is because they cut him or he's on the list, right?
Well, no, but he's. I mean, yeah. they absorbed his dead money last year, right?
Yeah,
he's off the books.
Armstead's not terrible. I mean, like, I wouldn't say it's a terrible contract, right?
I mean, I guess you could say, like, Unger or Warford. I mean, they both cost a lot. I mean, I don't know. Maybe who's that new safety they just signed from the Panthers?
Coleman.
I mean, that's a pretty bad contract.
But I think they can get it.
They didn't know at the time that I think safety was going to be completely ignored.
Safety was a housing market in 2008 or, like, the dot-com bubble.
Yeah.
They're like, we're buying pets, we're buying groceries.com. It's $80 a share, and it's a deal, and we're doing it.
Kenny Vaccaro's still looking for a job.
Yes, Kenny Vaccaro's still looking for a job. Eric Reed is still looking for a job. Another safety, the Falcons signed the guy from Kansas City today, Fuller, I think his name was. But I think that safety market, like those guys, like Dave, Kenny Vaccaro, he's not getting a job until somebody gets injured, right? Like, he's not going to sign between now and training camp.
I mean, either that or, I mean, I could see the Saints signing him back for real cheap. You know, they let him go and say, yeah, go ahead, test the market. We don't think you're worth anything. And I think he's obviously come to the realization they Saints might have been right. So, you know, very likely he could come back to us.
Yeah, but where would they put him? Like, where would they play? I can only see him coming back if like, they have an injury. Like, where would they, Andrew, like, where would they play him?
He could be a back. He could make the team as a backup guy. I mean, he's, you know. I think they want to move on from him as a starter, but I think there's a lot worse options for your backup safety.
Andrew?
I mean, sure, he's good enough to be a backup somewhere, but I don't think he wants to be. And from what I understand, I mean, there's three guys.
Oh, shit. I want him to be a fucking billionaire. But I think
there's a few guys. There's Trey Boston, yeah. Eric Reed, and Kenny
Trey Bacara. Boston, that was the name I was trying to think of.
Yeah, I think their agents are kind of talking to each other, and these guys are like, I'm not signing for the minimum, because if I do, then that establishes the market, and then Kenny Vaccaro has to take that too. So I think the three of them, from what I understand, are kind of in cahoots and just being like, we're not gonna play for the minimum.
We're gonna wait it out.
I think they're gonna hold out and hope that they can find work when someone decides they're desperate enough to get a safety.
I could see a team. There's got to be teams that have that one injury would fuck them at safety, or you just play a preseason game and you're like, dude, our safeties blow. Hey, Kenny, do you want 1 year, $4 million? You know, like I don't think that's on. I mean, we're talking. You know, Dave, you were mentioning center. The Saints. I forgot the center that they. They traded up for Boston College, and he sat. Oh, Tennant, he sat, and then they were like, he's going to be the starter. He was trash. And they brought in, they signed Olin Kurtz, and he played for like a day and a half.
Olin Kurtz,
yeah. He played for like a day and a half, and they cut him. Oh, by the way, funny story, he almost decked Drew Brees in the face in a fight in the locker room.
Who did?
Kurtz.
Why?
Because
in the locker room. Is this new information that you're...
Yeah, no, this is on the Lebertard show a couple weeks ago. They were talking about it. Kreutz was fighting another Saints player, and Drew Brees went in to break it up. And Brees, like, pulled Kreutz off of the dude, and he went turned around to, like, hit Drew Brees, and he's like, oh, shit, that's Drew Brees. I can't hit him. And he, like, wised up. I forgot who Lebertard said.
Jesus, Ralph.
But the point of it.
Great story, Ralph.
The point of
how
was.
How could you not remember? That would be a memorable thing.
I know. Well, I was driving in my car.
But who was the backup safety for the New Orleans Saints back in 1978? I'm sure, Ralph, you know that though.
Yeah. Probably. No, not in 78.
Can you give you a real answer?
Yeah, I couldn't. I can't go backup center 1978. Grooms. Top of the day, there's like four old guys like screaming at the podcast when they listen to it tomorrow. So that aside, chance that Kenny Vaccaro is a Saint, Andrew, zero being no chance, 10 being a lock, give me a 0 to 10 ranking.
-5.
Five. I think it's a 1.5. I could see if they lose a dude and Kenny Vaccaro was still out there, they'd bring him back and pretend that it was fine and okay. Before we get to Twitter questions, which people have some interesting ones, we are going to play the dead season question wheel. I was going to have a sound effect for the question wheel, but my soundboard doesn't work, so we'll just go brrrr. And we'll spin the wheel for a random dead season question wheel. And the question that came up, Dave, is select one drink to have at every Saints game for the rest of your life, and you can only have that one drink.
You know, for me, it would probably be a beer. And I mean, do I have to pick a very specific beer? I mean, I would probably go with like.
Yeah, are you allowed to just say beer?
No, I'm not. I'll be more specific.
No, you got to be more specific.
Yeah, no. If I had to choose a beer, I would. I think it would probably be like a barrel aged stout. You know, if I'm allowed to have any type of any type of version of that, then that would be good. If I had to pick one particular barrel-aged stout, I guess I would maybe go with Parish Brewery does. They do a stout called Rev, and like once a year they barrel age it, and I think they call it what the hell do they call it? Irish coffee or something like that. Anyway, so maybe be that one.
Andrew, one drink to drink at every Saints game for the rest of your life. What would you do?
I mean, I like amber beers. I'm not a big liquor guy. I mean, I'll have a liquor drink occasionally. I mean, I like wine, champagne, okay, but I don't really drink that during games. So, yeah, it would be beer. I like ambers. So, I mean, Ambita Amber. I like Ambita Amber.
Barf. I was thinking I could go like Jack Daniel's honey, then I could cheat and make a mixed drink, but that blows up the whole question. That's not fair. I would go Angel's Envy Bourbon. It's bourbon aged in a wine barrel. It's awesome. I can cut it with a little bit of water because I gotta have
Pappy. You wouldn't have Pappy.
I mean that's a little. I mean, I guess if I can,
can't afford that.
I mean,
every Sunday.
I can't. You know,
you didn't say money was an object.
That's true. I guess I kind of did. I didn't think like money was no object, but I guess
I think you're. Current financial standing would still apply.
Yeah, I'd have to go Angel Envy because Angel Envy you can get it for about if you can get it on sale at like Costco, you can get it for like high 30s, low 40s. Thing is with that is it's smooth, and I part of me would want a beer, but I gotta have bourbon because when the Saints eventually the post Drew Brees era, Andrew, I feel like I'm gonna need hard liquor to get me through it.
That's a good point.
So
maybe I will pick liquor.
You call it the post Drew Brees era. I call it the Taysom Hill era.
You know, and
tomato, tomato.
People are saying, like, I saw Nick Underhill wrote a column. I saw somebody else wrote a column. Is Taysom Hill is the hype warranted? And I say that's blasphemy. Every amount of hype is warranted. It is the number one thing that I am most excited for preseason is to analyze practices, throws, 7-on-7, quarterback challenge, and him in actual games. Like, it's just going to be amazing. So that was the dead season question. So so let's see what questions we have. Let's see. The Saints hold a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl against the Pats, Andrew. Would you give up drinking and start jogging every day for the rest of your life to make this score happen?
Like as a final score?
Yeah.
I mean, can't they just win like 28-24?
I'd rather not exercise.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I have a decent balance with my drinking, and I feel like I exercise a lot, so I don't really feel like I need to do it any more than I already do. So no, I'm out.
No, I mean, 28-3.
I mean, listen, I get the whole 28-3 thing. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm kind of over it. Like, yeah, sure, like we'll get mileage out of that joke for a long time, but I mean, like, if the Saints win the Super Bowl, that's all the excitement and happiness I need. Like, style points or some, you know, score line that helps me troll the Falcons. Like, I'm plenty happy with them winning the Super Bowl.
Here's the thing that trolls the Falcons. Saints 2 Super Bowls, Falcons none.
That's right. That's like all the ammunition I need. So, like, some...
Oh,
you
see,
know,
and then we could use, and then we could.
Posterity is just less.
And then we could use, you know, Matt Ryan's picture with his jersey number 2. We could somehow incorporate that with our 2 Super Bowls.
Here's a good question from Tootin' Nanny Dave. NFL Network ranks.
From who? I want you to say that again.
Tootin' Nanny.
Okay.
He says
there's
NFL
no Network. Pronounce that right.
No probably way. Not. No way. NFL Network ranks Breeze as the number 8 current player. Where you got him? Is that about right? I mean, you don't have to go through name players, but like, is he still top 10?
I think that's good. Anywhere in the top 10, I think is fine.
Andrew, where would you say?
Yeah, look, there's no way he's number one at this point, you know, or even top five, I would say.
They had Carson Wentz number two, which is kind of fucking ridiculous.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like, you can't say Carson Wentz is the second best player in the NFL when they won the Super Bowl without him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really good, but, I mean, they fucking won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles.
They had another guy that was just as good.
Yeah. I mean, I'd still put Aaron Rodgers number one.
What?
I mean, he's coming off an injury, but dude, I mean, Green Bay is kind of.
You wouldn't put Brady number one?
Brady was number one.
Brady was. I mean, age. Well, I mean, if age. Well, I don't know.
As much as I hate to say it, you know, you've got guys. I mean, if I'm talking about guys, I would put ahead of Breeze. I mean, Antonio Brown and Julio Jones are both incredible. Aaron Donald is an incredible player.
Von Miller. Yeah.
See, to me, like, Von Miller and Aaron Rodgers, like, that starts to get in Breeze territory.
The thing about Von Miller is, and I didn't realize this, I mean, if you want to go advanced stats, like, Cam Jordan last year was kind of better than Von Miller, which seems like crazy to say because Von Miller has the rep and the Super Bowl, but like the stats say, they're kind of close.
It's also really hard to compare positions.
Yeah.
I mean, Gronk is supremely unique for what he does and impossible to defend. So, I mean, I think Gronk has got to be in the top 10 and, you know, some guys get hurt, but J.J. Watt, to me, is a top five player if he's 100%, which he hasn't been in a couple of years. But I don't know. These top 100 lists are kind of ridiculous. But, I mean, there's no way Breeze is not in the top 10.
Well, because players vote. That's what makes it ridiculous. And players know less about other teams than you would think.
Breeze is a top 10 NFL player. I don't think it's ridiculous for me to make that statement. And I'm also kind of fine with him not being in the top five. So, you know, eight feels good to me.
This is from Don Takano. And by the way, Don has changed his picture. He looks like a Russian mob hitman with the glasses and the beard. It's very disconcerting, Don.
I thought he was Asian.
Well, I don't know. He's got the glasses on now. I can't tell. So,
his last name is Takano. I mean, probably, right?
Who is the next Saint inducted into Canton? Drew Brees or Sam Mills?
I mean, Brees is first ballot.
Yeah, probably Drew Brees.
Yeah, I feel like Don is gonna send me a tweet tomorrow when he listens to the show, and he's gonna be like, "Of course I'm Asian, you dickbag," or "Of course I'm, you know, Takano is this," and he'll be like, "Obviously," and he'll insult me, like he always does. But we love you, Don.
I'd expect nothing less. In fact, I'll be disappointed if it doesn't.
Ooh, this is a good question that we're all gonna answer. This is from Matthew Miller. I can't butcher that name. Let's assume that each of your sons
probably could.
It's probably
Matthew Mullen. Yeah. I just read it wrong.
Let's assume that each of your son hits a rebellious stage in life and decides to root for one team, college or any pro sport that you can't stand, except for the Falcons. What team would irritate you the most? I can tell you, if my son decides to root for the Yankees, he's an orphan. My wife will disown his fucking ass. She hates the Yankees with the heat of 1,000 suns. And I thought the Astros winning the World Series would make her be like, I don't care about the Yankees anymore. Fuck them. They don't matter. The Astros winning makes her hate the Yankees more because ESPN still covers the Yankees more than the Astros. And she feels like, as the world champion, the Astros deserve more coverage and they're not getting it. And she hates the Yankees even more than she ever has. That's what she says. She says they can suck her dick from the back.
Oh my god.
That's a Desus and Miro reference for all you people out there.
I love that. Classy. Real classy. You married a classy broad.
There, I did. Well. I married the tip top of class. Andrew, the team that would drive you nuts if your son started to root for them.
Falcons would be number one, but number two would be Alabama.
Sure.
If my son roots for Alabama, yeah, I'm putting him up for adoption.
Even if he would, like, go there as school?
Yeah, what if he goes there?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Allow that either. Yeah,
what about if he goes to...
I got to be careful about what I say. We might have some listeners that have gone to school there. But
what about UV? What if he goes to UVA, though? You hate UVA. That's right down the street.
That's a great school. You know, academically, I'd be happy with a UVA diploma. But, I mean, you know, no offense to anyone that went to school there, but I have my sights set on a better education for my son.
Tulane.
Dave, your choice for your kid.
Actually, it's funny, Ralph, because mine would actually be the Yankees also.
you're a fair-weather Met fan, right? When they're good, you care, and when they don't, you're like, whatever.
I don't even know what's going on with this team right now.
They're terrible. That's what's going on with them.
Yeah, I know. I knew that. I figured that. Since I haven't been paying attention, I have to assume that they're terrible. Yeah, I grew up in New York, and I grew up as a Mets fan, and obviously we always hated the Yankees, and this was like in the 80s and the 90s, and the Yankees were very good for most of the 90s, and hated watching them win all the time. And then, you know, they also just have that, like, it's just like anybody who's just going to, like, start liking baseball, they just, like, automatically start liking the Yankees. I don't like
the Yankees either.
People just hop on the Yankee train so easily, and they just have this broad following all over the country and all over the world, and it just kind of drives me nuts. They're like the Walmart or the Amazon of
Red Sox fans are just as annoying, in my opinion.
Yeah, but there's not like, I mean, yeah, you're right. Well, you could say that about all Boston fans, but I'm having a hard time really, really using my words to get my point across. But it's just like, you know,
yeah,
everybody's a fucking Yankee fan,
I know,
you know?
People that like they dust off the Yankees. The Yankees cap had been in the bin for a while, and they dusted that shit off last year with Aaron Judge. You know, and my wife hates it because they have Yankees fans and Red Sox fans. Last year and the years before, you'd go to the Astros game and she'd be like, "What the fuck is this? The Boston just hit a home run. They're cheering." Like, my wife is not for that. So here's an interesting question, Andrew. This is from
Wait, Dave. Do you not have a Tulane rival? Like, who's your most hated college football?
I mean, LSU is Tulane's rival, just from going back in from back in the day.
Is that really who you hate the most in college football, though? Like,
yeah,
they don't even play.
They play baseball.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, Tulane doesn't really have much of.
They don't have a conference.
It's sad that Tulane and LSU don't play in football anymore because it's really dulled the rivalry on both sides. Like, it's just like Tulane fans still
would be a complete waste of time forever.
It's
whatever.
Fun
we're,
though,
we're
man.
Ohio
it's
State next year.
It's fun.
That doesn't mean it's not a waste of your time or theirs.
They could get a check.
We get the money.
Tulane would get a big fat check. This is from Cajun Alaskan, Andrew. You have one night of tender lovemaking with either Zlatan. What's the soccer player? Zlatan?
Oh, Zlatan?
Zlatan or Ronaldo?
Oh, well, I'm a PSG fan, so it's Zlatan. No,
he's got ass tattoos, too, which,
that's
a
turn-off.
It's turn off, but it's something different. I feel like Ronaldo, he's just
down for anything different.
Yeah, he's down for something different. I feel like Ronaldo, he's just too good looking. He would intimidate me, and he's just his whole body. He's just too good looking. I'd be intimidated, and things could go wrong.
Ronaldo looks like his hair has been painted on.
Yeah, yeah, like I could butcher Zlatan's name, and that would make it, maybe it would get, because I would keep calling him a different name, it might get kinky, you know, it could be fun. So, I'll go that way. Let's see.
I love Zlatan. He's such a conceited dick.
He is.
It's like tongue in cheek, except it's not.
Yeah,
and I find him insanely entertaining.
He's committed.
Ronaldo's just like a. I mean, he's insanely good, and I mean, he's fun to watch. But he's kind of like a lame pretty boy, you know.
This is from John Ziegler, friend of the show. Dave, most likely to get first team All Pro in 2018, Lattimore, Kamara, or Taysom Hill?
Well, that's a good question. If I'm going to answer this seriously, obviously we're eliminating Hill, but man, I mean, they're both.
Don't forget, you know, Ingram suspended.
Yeah, I mean, they both won Rookie of the Year. You know, they're both, as far as I'm concerned, they're both on equal footing. I guess I'll go with Kamara.
I would go Lattimore because I just think he's gonna. I think there's a chance that Lattimore is the best corner in football this year, Andrew. But the most fun would be Taysom Hill, because if Drew Brees gets injured, Taysom Hill is first team All Pro, and the Saints win the Super Bowl. Oh boy, next year gets weird.
Yeah.
I mean, Kamara could arguably be the best running back in the league next year.
Oh, totally. So, Andrew, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, Taysom Hill could be out of the league. In a
year. He could be out of the league by mid-August.
He's definitely the most likely to be out of the league in a year between the three. Yeah, I'll go Lattimore.
This is from Guillaume. Sorry, I pronounced your name wrong again. You told me how to do it last week, and I forgot. Compulsive question from Europe. Any predictions for the World Cup? I don't have a prediction, but I have a wish. I want Mexico and England to meet in a quarterfinal so we can have World Cup Armageddon in the Marlboro House. That's what I want.
Are you really an England fan?
I mean, like, if I'm not a U.S. fan, I'm an England fan. Like, that's, I watched the Premier League, Andrew, so I know all the players. And they're.
Do you really care? Like, are you really that upset if they get eliminated?
No, I just root for them because, you know. But it'd be fun with the wife. Like, the wife can wear a Mexico jersey. I can wear
the wife.
I could care less about France losing.
So, like, what are you? What's your prediction? Who's going to win then?
Well, I mean, I don't think Brazil looks good. So, and I think Germany is donezo. You know, I'm tempted to say Belgium. I think Belgium is good. You know, the team that is still not, I think, qualified for the next round is Colombia. But I think they're kind of sneaky good, so that they would be like a surprise team for me. But I'm going to say Belgium wins it all.
Belgium is good. I like Roberto Martinez. He used to coach Everton. But they have they struggle with like set pieces, and they give up easy goals and shit. Yeah. So sure. I'm going to go Germany, even though they look like crap and they escaped. Dave, this is an interesting question from Eric. Which would you rather have happen over the next 25 years? Saints win 3 Super Bowls, but Atlanta wins one, or neither team wins any.
Oh. That would
if
be
we,
real.
If we win 3, Atlanta can have one.
Yeah, I mean, that would be real petty to not to give up Saints winning the Super Bowl just so Atlanta doesn't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, you would give up your own happiness for
that means it'll be
like 2043 and we'll still be talking about just that one Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, for me, I have a 2.5-year-old, and Andrew, you've done a fantastic job of like indoctrinating your son to like root for all the sports team you do. I feel like if the Saints can get 2 more Super Bowls in the next 25 years, or if they win, if he meant win 3 more and they get to 4, that means he's gonna like the Saints because I'm gonna be rooting for the Saints and the Saints are gonna be winning and he's gonna be like, the Saints winning is fun. I'm gonna root for Dad's team because they're good. So like we'll have like a lifelong bond. And I don't care if Atlanta gets one, because that will be cool to me, and I'd rather have that than Atlanta have one. And if the Saints have 3 and Atlanta have ones, you still lord over them. And that doesn't even count if Carolina and Tampa Bay sucks and all that. I gotta say,
the whole thing that's fun about the Saints and Falcons is that, like, they're both pretty good. Like, and then when the Saints were horrible, the Falcons were horrible. Like, we've always kind of been
the same.
Similar playing field. And I just feel like you look at LSU and Alabama, for example, and like that rivalry has become so lame because now they just completely own us. And it's like UVA and Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's won like 17 or 18 times in a row. And people here in Charlottesville talk about that being a rivalry, but
it's just a feud. Like once you get your ass kicked that much, it's not a rivalry. It's just a feud, and you just seethe hatred and jealousy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just at some point, like it stops being fun when there's like no light at the end of the tunnel. Like we have no hope of beating this team ever, and that's what it feels like with Alabama and LSU right now.
This is a good question from Chuck, and we forgot to touch on it a little bit. With Jameis Winston suspended, is Dirk Cutter the first coach to be fired? And how much does Sean Payton run up the score week one? Because Sean Payton hates fucking Dirk Cutter. Let's not forget that. After the little handshake deal.
I think it's water under the bridge.
I don't know, man. I mean,
Payton is one petty ass motherfucker.
Yeah.
I think
I could see him running up the score for sure.
But is Dirk Cutter going to... Is Jameis Winston getting... getting handsy and a little bit rapey.
A little rapey
in the Lyft or the Uber. Is that going to cost Dirk Cutter his job, Dave? I think it might.
I think he's dead man walking, yeah.
Dave?
Yeah, this is his season. He's got to make or break.
And oh, by the way, Jonathan Vilma made a good point. I was listening to him on ESPN Radio. He was saying, you know, the thing about Jameis Winston is everybody says he's a great teammate, he's very charismatic and this and that. He must have like two totally different personalities of he's a great teammate and then he's this total other person who is always getting in trouble with women who some people think he got away with rape at Florida State. And Jonathan Vilma was making the point about Darren Sharper. I know it happened after he was with the Saints, but like nobody suspected anything of like him being this weird serial rapist. And Andrew, I gotta say, like Jameis Winston on the fucking, I mean, for him to get busted again after the first time, like that just shows a level of just crappy human being and stupid that I didn't imagine that he could be. I mean, say what you want about Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger had the one issue, right, where the girl, he did something and the woman was like, his penis is gray and blah, blah, blah. But, like, you don't, Ben Roethlisberger hadn't had any issues since then, you know? So at least he was, like, smart enough to, like, not be a habitual piece of shit, which Winston seems to be.
Habitually.
But so we're all agreed. Dirk Cutter still coach at Tampa for Halloween. Andrew,
no, fired. I feel like you're on the hot seat the minute you're hired by Tampa.
Yeah,
Lovie Smith's the only one that's lasted more than like 2 years there.
Final question, and then we'll get out of here. Breeze plays 2.5 more seasons. Over under. That's from Bjorn. Bijun. Sorry.
Over.
Ooh.
I think 2 years. We've got 2 years left.
Man.
I think it's under.
I think he's going to be healthy this year. The Saints are going to be amazing. It's going to be great fun. And I think next year he starts to break down and
falls off a cliff.
And even if he starts to break down a little, it gets complicated for the Saints because his contract's up. And you know, if he plays 10 games, and he'll be like, I played 10, I still want $25 million. The Saints will be like, dude, you're, you know, not young anymore. We're not paying you $25 million. Then it gets dicey. So I'm going to say.
I do think, I don't know, do you guys think Breeze would walk away after a bad year? Or would he want to try to come back? I mean, I think that's what we see a lot of times is that, you know, I mean, obviously Peyton Manning walked out with the Super Bowl title, but like he came back from a bad year and was even worse. You know, and he was lucky to win the Super Bowl, but I mean, he was almost benched in the process. But I don't know. I could see Breeze having a bad year and the Saints walk, and then he's like, and then he signs up with the team that basically has a loaded roster but needs a quarterback, and then he's even worse the following year. You know, I could see I could see that happening.
I mean, Favre had the, you can argue, the best year of his career in 2009. In 2010, he was done.
Yeah.
You know, I just think Breeze is at that age where, like, it can be it can be over at any time. Like, that's what history says. Like, once a quarterback hits 38, you're living on anything we get from this moment on. Anything you get from Breeze is extra.
Yeah, but I think history's kind of out the door because
maybe
we know so much more about diet and training. And I mean, I do think the average age of the athlete is extended. I mean, you look at, I mean, I just look at tennis, for example. Like, every guy in the top 100 is over 28 years old, pretty much. I mean,
yeah.
There's very few guys breaking through that are 18 to 20.
Yeah.
Because there's just been so much technology and advancement with health, diet, you know, physical routine. I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. They know so much more now. And these quarterbacks, I mean, Breeze is, he takes the least amount of hits of anyone in the whole league. You know, he gets sacked the least, he gets the least hits. So he knows how to protect himself. And I mean, he could go a few more years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the final question.
My only point there is you can't look at history and be like, it's not a level.
Because they can't. Because they can't. Yeah, because they can't. Because they can't beat the shit out of quarterbacks anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, look, that's the final question. Look, people had like six or seven, Allen and Joe and Clark. They had questions on wide receivers. We're going to do wide receivers next week. This week we did offensive line. Next week we're going to focus on wide receivers. So I saw your questions, guys. We're going to get to wide receivers next week, I promise. So that wraps it up. For Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.